with housing comes after.
First thing on our agenda is public comment. Anybody wants to comment, please step on down front.
It's almost like it's on cars.
No, you can do both.
Either of these?
Yeah, they both work.
You can move them as much as you want, so.
Don't give me that option.
They have to stay attached to the podium there, though.
Yes, sir. It's always somebody to ruin the fun. Good morning. My name is Frederick Schrank. I am a resident of Sussex County. I have lived here since 1988. I am a retired Deputy Attorney General and represented the Department of Transportation in most of its divisions, including planning, from 1987 through the spring of 2015. And I have quite a bit of experience with the issues that you are now addressing. I have some short remarks about the mobility element of your comprehensive plan draft. In 1935, the state took over the county road system, and that was enacted in 40 Delaware Laws, Chapter 107, a part of which is codified at 17 Delaware Code, excuse me, Section 131A. Now, the uncodified portions of this still legally effective law in Section 1 says that the counties shall be, in quotes, shall be relieved of any responsibility for the road system that they previously maintained. And Section 2 of this same legislation, which again is still in effect, says, in quote, the respective counties in making up their budgets and fixing the tax rates shall, in ellipse, shall omit any tax for road purposes. Now, the benefits of this new arrangement at that time in 1935 were pretty obvious. It's the Depression. The county road system was predominantly dirt roads. With the advent of automobiles and trucks, the need to pave those roads and modernize them far outstripped the county's ability to pay for those improvements under the tax system and limitations that the county had at the time, which is basically property tax. So the state took it over for all three counties at that time. And since that time, as you pointed out in your plan, 90% of the road system within the state is the state's to maintain, and the rest is predominantly private. There are municipal streets, of course. Now, you know, what we need to do is compare the challenges of that 1935 fix to the current realities that Sussex County is facing. And with respect to this, the Chapter 13, the mobility element of this comprehensive land use plan, there's much to recommend within it. And I commend the drafters and the folks who worked to produce this draft. It's a very good document, has a lot of good things in it. And today I'd like to focus on the fiscal solutions section of the mobility plan. And that's because, in my experience, the budget is the true expression of a government's actual priorities. And the Sussex Transportation Fund suggestion, I changed it from CTF to Sussex Transportation Fund is because we already have a CTF. And I lived a formerly acronym-filled life, and I'd rather not have the confusion of two CTFs. So today I'm just going to refer to your Sussex Transportation Fund suggestion. That includes a 90-10 matching fund for projects. The sources of revenue from the county for that 10% share administered by the county for transportation projects in the county. That's a very good idea. And given the current limitations of the 1935 law, here's how I suggest any new legislation should be structured to make this happen. First, you need to repeal those relevant portions of that 1935 law that limit your ability. And second, and that same legislation would authorize Sussex and the Department of Transportation to enter into transportation funding agreements for specific projects. I'd suggest it be written to permit an up to 10% county match for these projects so that you're not always limited by, I don't have enough for all these projects, but I can put 7% toward this one while I'm putting the full 10 toward others, for instance. that the Sussex sources for its share, what it puts toward this, its own transportation fund, could come from any revenue sources available to it, be they taxes, be they fees, be they county bond revenues if necessary, and including any impact fees that you may impose as part of your processes. And that Sussex be authorized to adopt any relevant ordinances to implement the new program, of course. And the benefits of this particular concept, the 90-10 concept, is that leveraging works. The interstate highway system was built on a 90-10 basis in which the federal government put in 90% of the program's funding and the states came up with the 10% to make that happen. Most federal aid projects are done on an 80-20 basis in which the federal government puts up 80 and the state puts up 20. That means that when you look at the state's capital improvement program and you look at where the state is using its money, it always leverages as much dollars as it can toward using the federal government's cash. And I predict they will do the same thing if they're given the opportunity to do Sussex County projects with a 10% assist from the county. That really assists in establishing and maintaining priorities. It helps in scheduling these projects. It helps the county help people deliver a timely project when it's needed and not have it come in to effect after it's already been overtaken by events.
Hey, Fritz, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
So in that, what you just expelled on, that would be a legislative change and a county ordinance combined?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, if you're going to have a transportation fund, you're going to have to write your own ordinance to how you want to deal
for
with
the,
that.
For the 10.
For the county.
And then we'd have to go
but
and
think,
get...
Right. I think then, in order to make sure there's no question that you have the ability to take a mix, as you see it, of tax revenue, fee revenue, or all other sources of revenue to apply to this transportation fund, okay, which I envision in the same fashion as the transportation trust fund for the state, in which it's a pile of cash, it gets invested, those investment proceeds are turned into it, and then as it's come up and as it's used, it's tapped for the projects. So I think you do need state legislation for this perfect, as I recall, the comprehensive plan draft that reflects that fact. But you also, of course, need to have county ordinances to implement that program as you see it set up for yourself.
So the state would have to agree on the 90% input as well. So you'd have you'd have one big pile, and there'd be $9 put in by the state and $1 put in by the county.
Well, the way I actually envision it is they have their transportation trust fund from all the sources of revenue that they have.
But it's not county, but it's not in that transportation fund, it's not county locked.
No, it isn't. But the way I wrote in this comments is that if, and it's not written that way either in the federal level, okay, but the state has the ability to have its own trust fund. Then this legislation says the state's authorized to enter into project funding agreements providing a 90% share.
This is the new legislation.
The new legislation, okay. Right, that will allow them to enter into these agreements with the county, with taking the county's support and applying it to the projects that are needed in Sussex County. And, of course, the county, by putting up some of the money, has a bit of a say in which projects are going to do this. Because if the county can't agree about which projects are going to use Sussex money, then the money doesn't get spent at that location.
Either the state or the county money wouldn't get this.
Right. We pick and choose our projects with our 10%.
Right, in coordination and under agreement with the state, absolutely. Because you know, but the fact is that in the decisional mix by the state about where best to spend its money, it's always leveraged its projects first. Okay, anytime they don't have to put up their own money completely, those projects tend to get done first. Okay. So if you say, look, this is important enough to our county to put in some money toward it, the state, at least in my decades of experience, has said, great, we'll help that. We'll help boost it on the priority list for us for our 90% share. In the same fashion that they prioritize the 20% share that they're going to use, grabbing 80% of the feds to the federally assisted projects.
So you wouldn't be essentially putting a separate Sussex County fund by the state. It would be when they came with project money.
Right.
We could say, hey, to move it up in the priority, right, we'll contribute our money. Okay.
You have
so it's a way of producing speed.
Speed and resources.
Right.
I mean, literally resources.
If they were coming anyway, yeah, in like 2023, and we said, look, this is pretty important to us, how about 2022, and we'll give the 10?
Right.
That's your theory of this deal.
That would be a way to make it happen, certainly.
Okay.
So how's this tax going to be collected?
We
determine that.
That's up to you. Because I'm not suggesting that you have a road tax. I'm not suggesting any new taxes for you.
Do we put that tax on the pumps, gas pumps?
No, sir. That's where
they're getting their money from. State gets
currently, theirs. Yes, sir. I'm not suggesting any new tax revenues for you all, okay? Because that's a whole different problem.
Otherwise, they would have plenty of money if they didn't spend on welfare. The state would.
We're not talking about welfare today. We're talking about transportation.
I'm talking about why they don't have money.
No, we know.
We're looking for raise money, right? You know what the man's saying here?
No, sir.
He didn't say raise money.
How you can use the money that you now have and the money that you will have coming in.
Seems like me, when you say raise money, it's going back to county tax, going back to me, personally.
That's not what he said.
If you could give me a few more minutes.
Wait, can I ask one more question first?
Is that what you said?
I'll address your answer in the rest of my remarks, sir.
I got one more question.
Yes, sir.
Where's the 10% of what? Where would you
figure? 10% of the project cost.
Of the cost, so right. It's just.
So, for instance, say it costs, roughly speaking, $1 million to build 1 mile of quote county road, a 2-lane road, okay, like Fisher Road or.
Okay, I got it. So, but we're not.
You'd have to come up with $100,000.
Right. Okay. So what we're doing is we're coming up with money. We're not coming up with 10% of some number over here. Because it could be on this project or that project. Okay.
The way I envision it is the same fashion as the state's transportation trust fund, which is that the money builds, and then it's applied on a project-by-project basis at a 90%, 10% share cost-sharing arrangement, where their funds pay for 90, your funds pay for 10.
Okay.
Okay.
I understand that.
So.
Sounds good on paper, right?
Well,
we got to look at it.
The point of this is that if the county supports legislation to do this, all right, then it steps up to meet the reasonable demands of its citizens and its residents, and it no longer has to accept the fact that it has no responsibility for the roads within it. It's accepting it. It's picking up that responsibility. It's reassuming it because it's important to have that happen now compared to what was facing the county in 1935. In my review of what happens with the county and its budget, there are historic revenue growth patterns for Sussex County. That's because there's an ever-increasing property tax base as development occurs. There's also, of course, the transfer tax revenues and the other ancillary revenues achieved from having more growth come into the county. So, in my view, watching that happen, and knowing that periodically the county decides what to do with that money in its annual budget processes, knowing what its revenue picture is, it also allows for phasing of the money that could go into the Sussex Transportation Fund from the sources that it now has going in to the county's overall coffers.
Can you explain that a different way?
Sir, for instance, suppose the revenue coming into the county in a given year is $110 million, okay, in all taxes, whether they're transfer taxes or property taxes, okay? I'm not going to talk about the sewer system because that's a cost recovery thing. That's just a net, all right? But just basically in the overall tax base, suppose you have $100 million coming in a given year. And because you issue 800 building permits a year, and other stuff comes in and properties are built and sold, your next year's revenue, nothing else happening, your next year's revenue turns into 105 instead of 100 because of all the new property tax revenue that you're generating because people are already coming in new. So you have that happen every year now, right? So it's going to be your decision as a county budget to decide when and under what conditions to start putting money toward this trust fund and from what sources. And if, for instance, some of the money that's needed for this trust fund can come from the growth that's happening in your revenues, do it that way. Then you're not, the people who are currently paying taxes, they're not seeing a change in their tax rate.
So in that example, it would be the $5 million bump.
Right. Some portion of that you can apply to the trust fund.
And what if it goes the other way?
Do you decide whether to fund the trust fund? The money sits.
So year to year, we look at the funding of it, whether we...
Right.
Up or down.
Right. It's not like the money has to be used in a given year. Right? The legislation allows the money to sit. It doesn't, it's not a use or lose. Okay? So the money goes into the fund, stays there. In any given year, you decide how much money you want or how systems you want to have to come in to replenish that fund or fill it. Right? Mm-hmm. You have that ability if this thing's drafted appropriately, and I'm convinced that Mr. Robertson's fully up to the task. I don't mind helping.
Thanks, Mr. Cole. That didn't sound like a lot of
well, I mean, you weren't here yesterday.
I wasn't here.
Thanks
yesterday.
Again.
I wasn't born yesterday either. This is my first rodeo. So I'd like to briefly address some of the other elements of the plan so I don't take up the whole time for this. The Mobility Improvement Committee is a good idea. Its effectiveness, of course, depends on who's on it and how well that committee works with the county's professional planning and administrative staff. That's just a given. But the idea of having a committee assist the professional staff of the department and overseeing this work is fine with me. If you also decide that the professional staff for the county is up to the tasks that are outlined in this committee, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. You know, but I like the idea of some public involvement in it. And again, with respect to that Sussex Transportation Fund, you can have the Sussex County equivalent of the Council on Transportation assist in that prioritization process as well, if you want to have one set up under your ordinances. I strongly support the plan's comments and recognition of the value of the Carter Capacity Preservation Program. Now, that's legislation that I conceived and drafted for the state 22 years ago. And I'm glad to see how well it's worked over the years. I think it's a very good thing to help out with the designated corridors that are in it. I also think that some opportunities may have been dropped in the past to add other corridors to that project or to that program. And I strongly support the plan suggestion that that program be used to designate new corridors, especially on the east-west routes in the county. I support the limited access project concepts that are in this plan, especially for the evacuation corridors. But I'd suggest that building formally limited access projects, as opposed to the near equivalent that you get with a Carter Capacity Program, that only happen after all options under the Carter Program are explored. I support the plan suggestion of the alternate route designations with wayfaring technology and signage. Frankly, a lot of folks use these options already using their, software in their phones. But the signage element could bring others along, and I think that's to be supported. I especially support the creation of expanded road corridor networks within the areas that you decide you need to have them. The county's road network transition from a limited farm-to-market system to an essentially suburban environment has not been handled well in the last 40 years. But that was then. Just because something's been handled badly in the past doesn't mean you have to continue to handle it badly in the future. And I support, for instance, the approaches to the subdivision layouts and interconnectivity elements that are in this plan. They're great as far as they go. But expanding the network of what I call them county roads is what's really needed to make these areas prosper and grow with far less negative impact on the quality of life that brought these people to the county in the first place. So thanks very much, and I'm happy to answer any further questions.
Question, Mr. Burton?
I got two questions. Why'd you pick the number 10? I mean, I guess.
The commission did.
But was there a reason for it?
I don't recall, and I don't know that was the first number that was, and I don't have on my file.
I just wondered if there was a formula-based deal that said this number will work.
It's possible that it was based on the interstate system.
Yeah, if I recall, it was, maybe there wasn't a number, and then maybe there was a larger number, and it came back to 90-10's the one that would.
So it wasn't.
You see that split in a lot of things that we do, the federal government, the airport.
The feds, though, is 80-20. That's really where my question's coming from.
Why not 80-20?
No, the Fed is 80-20. I just wondered if 10, because of what's needed in Sussex County, the 10 might be the right number. I'm just asking that question.
I don't have a guess.
I think the commission looked at what was workable and manageable, too. There was sort of a combination of things that went into that. In terms of what we could do, you know.
Okay.
So it wasn't a number.
Well, yeah, 10 would be easier for us to find 10% somewhere in some source of funding, as opposed to 20, because then you're just going to have to get more.
And there was, I would say there was a concern that
it's harder to get more than it is to get less.
That, and this is off my recollection, so it may not be 100% accurate, they didn't want to put a number in there that would kill the whole idea.
Right.
You know?
So. No, I just, you know, you don't want to.
Start somewhere, right?
Well, and you also don't want to,
now we're doing zero.
You know, if the project is, if 10%, you know, doesn't get it for 10 years, you really haven't done anything to solve the problem today. And I'm not advocating 20 or anymore. I just wondered if there was a formula. And then the second question I have is there's a presumption that by having a 90-10 split, there would be a yield to priority. We would bump in advance.
Well, just
because that's what I'm fighting. That's what we're all fighting, right? We need to get it done now.
Right. My own, to put it in really crude terms, is put your money where your mouth is.
Right.
That if you really wanted this done as the county, then you put something up toward it, and that will help convince the state to agree with you.
How does that?
Every time you leverage, you get more done.
How does that work with the vision lens formula?
I'm sorry, I don't know what that term is.
Whatever you're talking, what am I talking about? Intravens or something.
So Josh Thomas with Deldot. You're talking about decision lens?
Decision lens.
You're talking about the project prioritization process. And decision lens is just the software that runs, that does the scores. But it's actually the capital transportation
sets the
program.
Priority, so.
Well, yes and no. The software is used to come up with the percentages. But once those are set, it really is a method of assigning a score to a project. So, the software is not used to generate the score. It's kind of a voting process where you would, you'd say certain, depending on what criterion you're looking at, that would help give it the score. So that each project has a final score that comes out of the software.
But it was purchased to take the politics out of the priority of funding.
Right, so it's a more objective process. So obviously listening to the comments, I think they're really good, and I really appreciate your feedback on that. In the implementation of such a fund could also involve potential changes to the prioritization process that we obviously would have to run through with the Council on Transportation to determine if, because if there has to be state legislation and county ordinance, then that would be another thing that we'd have to look at for implementation would be, does that get a point? Does that get, because you're talking about giving, making it easier to spend the money here with that match. So, but we can't ignore that prioritization process as well. So we'd have to figure out, is there a way that can get a score? Can there be a new criterion in there? We'd have to determine that.
Because am I correct that TIDs get a point?
Yes, there is. So
there is a mechanism.
There is a mechanism.
Things in there.
Right, right. So you evaluate it on all the other criteria. So if it already has merit based on other, the other criteria in the process, then it gets extra points for something related to, is there matching money? Is it in a TID, et cetera, et cetera?
Right, okay.
So.
If the fiscal it's a fiscal resources element of that plan, that if there's a recognition that this is something that's good to do and there's money for it, that's a little better in the decisional mix than this is a nice thing to do and there's no money for it.
Right. I understand.
So it looks like to me the more roads, more traffic. Is that correct? Build it and they'll come. In other words, we wouldn't be like New York City. I went to New York City many times, drove back and forth, and I seen they built one road, finally just built parallel to that. Just kept building more roads, Is that the answer, more roads?
No, sir.
What are we going to do? Do we have country land here now, farmland?
I don't think probably he's the expert to answer about more roads. I don't think that's what his...
Well, no, see, the only thing I can I think that's where he's driving to, Mike.
No, no, sir, the only thing I can tell you is that folks come regardless of whether there's roads. People's tolerance for traffic is pretty elastic. People's tolerance for not having sewer, on the other hand, is very inelastic.
In other words, we've got too much traffic now, is what you're saying?
I'm sorry, sir.
Sam, you're on the wrong path here, buddy. That's not what
the way I go on.
I'm trying to understand what Dan's saying here.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't understand your last statement.
That's what Mike's in the middle. I can't get done. Do we have more traffic here?
Yes, sir.
That's why we're going to build more highways?
No, sir.
So that means we're going to bring more people?
No, sir.
We're going to do away with more farmland? Is that our goal now?
No, sir.
Well, I think it sounds like it's where we're going.
That's your call.
Other words, agriculture is number one business, so why are we trying to drive that out of the state?
Let me address that question for you right now, okay? One of the reasons for the Carter Capacity Preservation Program was the recognition of the fact that the county's economy and the peninsula economy is based on 18 wheels and chicken, okay?
Number one.
And the story is that, because I remember at one point the Corps of Engineers being very upset at the dualization of Route 113 between Milford and Georgetown, because people at the Corps claimed that the only reason we wanted to have that road built that way, dualized, was because they want to make it easier for people to get to the beaches. Fact is, one, people were dying left and right in head-on collisions on a two-lane road that was very busy. Second, you need to make sure that the 18-wheel economy, 18-wheel agricultural economy of the peninsula and this county continues to run as smoothly as possible and is not stymied by a massive amount of traffic that's filling up the major routes. That's why that program emphasizes regional needs as opposed to very local needs by accesses right on that road. So if you really want the area to continue to be as effective and great an agricultural resource for the country as a whole, make sure the road systems work well for that purpose. And if you crowd the roads in with lots and lots of accesses on lots and lots of roads, the trucks can't get through, and the same people who depend upon that system to work well are going to start looking elsewhere. You talk to the potato farmers who moved from Long Island to the Dover area as Long Island went crazy and didn't manage itself well, and they found themselves priced out and costed out and forced out of Long Island. They moved to Delaware to do their potato farming here. Nothing that I've suggested is cause for the creation of roads that aren't needed. Nothing that I'm suggesting says anything other than people are moving here anyway. We might as well make it work well for them. The Carter Plan and the other suggestions that are in this comprehensive plan are, in my view, designed to make sure that what's here now works as well as it can for as long as it can, while accommodating the folks who want to be here and are moving here. And that also means supporting the needs of agriculture, which is the business in this county, as best we can. But that means making sure that the major routes, east, west, and north, south, work as good as they can for the sake of the 18-wheelers that are using that to bring the goods and services relating to agriculture to and from this county and the rest of the peninsula.
Well, you're talking about something I know a little bit about. I used to drive a trip to Preston back and forth to New York all the time.
Yes, sir.
And when they kept building a highway, they had to build a new highway. Get more people out all the time, more people. And build it and they'll come. I guarantee you they'll come. Just build more bigger highways. When I started, I've lived here all my life,
yes,
for the last 70-some years. Anyway, I can remember when I went here on 113, we never need one highway, one single lane. That's when DuPont first bought it, you know.
Yes, sir.
But anyway.
Short of people telling people they can't move here, I don't know what answer to your problem.
So they've got dual highways down here now. You can't hardly still get on the highway with dual highways. So just going to keep bringing in more people.
Okay.
So we're going to make it easier for them to get here, right?
No, sir. It's already pretty easy to get here. It's
what you have here. You think bigger's better?
No, sir. Not necessarily.
I don't think so either.
Okay. He's giving us comments, Sam. Let's not have a cross-examination of Mr.
Well, he's across that.
Are you now living in Sussex County full-time?
I have lived in this state, in this county full-time since June of 1988.
There you go, Sam. He's one of us. He's here to help.
Thank you, sir. Very good comments. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Fritz.
Anyone else? We're getting, come on down and try to make it as quick as you can, please. Thank you.
Jeff Stone, resident of Milton, and representing Sarge, you know who we are, and we've been here, and we thank you for the opportunity. By the way, I think I can just summarize my comments and say, yeah, what he said.
It works.
Basically, oh, I need this.
You're trying to say your tax rate not high enough?
That's a whole other discussion, I think. But anyway, thank you for the opportunity to share our thoughts. I'll go as quickly as we can. Where am I here? I got to make sure I know how to do that. There we go. We wanted to commend in general the mobility element that the Planning Commission put together. It's very different, proactive, and forward-thinking, and many of the goals, strategies, and objectives than they were in the previous plan. Our comments today will be as brief as we can make them, and we will have more as we go forward. No plan can be effective if its elements stand alone. And one of the things that we said before and we'll say again is that all these elements must mesh like the gears in a fine watch. And we note that the mobility element itself states that the most important force, this is a quote, the most important force that affects transportation demand and travel patterns is land use and development. And we would suggest to you that you cannot realistically plan for a transportation system unless you've determined your land use. And we recommend that the land use element be finalized before you finalize the mobility element. I mean, do what you're doing, and what you're doing is great, but until you finalize the land use, we're afraid that things won't work out. Sussex County is a complex mix of urban, suburban, and rural areas. They all need the approaches tailored to their particular needs. We got to finalize the mobility element, but if we do it without determining land use and density levels, among other considerations, it won't have as positive an impact. As noted, the mobility element is one of the most critical and complex in the plan. In the current draft, mobility represents 60% of total goals, 23% of the total objectives, 36% of all strategies. Because of this complexity, with many items dependent on another item, it's absolutely critical. Again, we've said this before, during your deliberations, you need to clearly set priorities, set timelines, ensure that the needed actions actually happen. We can't have a repeat of 2008. Oh, I just said that. I can't chew gum and foot things. Okay, here I think where we are. Now, to specific suggestions, and we just heard most of these, and we certainly endorse what Fritz was talking about. We also would endorse the mobility committee in concept, but express concern that there are a lot of unknowns that could change that. It would be valuable, in our opinion, to have the county's transportation system reviewed in a holistic and consistent manner, but exactly how that would be done is a little murky. For example, the proposed membership seems quite large, potentially unwieldy. The need for the membership to be balanced and objective, how will it be staffed? How will it be supported? What weight will its recommendations have? Who would it be reporting to? And would Sarge or the public or other interested organizations have an opportunity to suggest candidates for it should the council determine to formalize it? A couple specific goals and objectives, goal 13.1 and the key corridor visions 13.3.3, increase the physical and operational capacity of the transportation system for the county. The two above items are good, but we feel don't go far enough. We're suggesting that the council, as a top priority, task the consultants or the Mobility Improvement Committee, if you decide to form it, with developing a future-oriented Sussex County Priority Road Corridors Plan. This would be the conceptual countywide grid system, I think Fritz mentioned it in a kind of different way, that would identify multiple north-south, east-west corridors, both existing as well as envisioned. The grid system would necessarily be linked to the comprehensive plan's land use element, because obviously the two are linked together. It should also coordinate with the Corridor Capacity Preservation Program. And we've had a lot of specific ideas on this issue that we can share with the consultants or the council at your pleasure. Regarding the Corridor Capacity Preservation Program, it should be expanded to include the critical east-west corridors in the county. I think, again, Fritz mentioned this. This should have been done long ago, but the law allows for the addition of other existing corridors. We would expand, endorse also the CTF or Sussex Transportation Fund, whichever you prefer to use. This could be linked to the Priority Roads Program that we proposed above. As the need is great, every possible funding source should be analyzed for applicability, including high corridors impact fees, local tax dollars, and as Fritz pointed out, this will require state legislation to be implemented, but it's a great idea. We would also endorse the interconnectivity of developments and communities as a simple way, very simple way, to create alternative routes for residents. We recommend that the county adopt state standards for all road construction so that the long-term maintenance of all future county roads can be assumed by the state. We also endorse the alternative route strategy in Objective 13.8.1 and 13.8. Anyway, the alternative, the wayfaring signage, the wayfaring program proposed there. Great idea, needs to be expanded, needs to be made much more easy for travelers to find and get their way around the county. Finally, in our view, this draft element is just a sea change from 2008. It still requires a great deal of additional and complicated work. We're not telling you anything. But most critically, it will require a lot of political will to bring it to fruition. Nothing good ever comes easy, but it's doable if the will is there. We must all be realistic and realize it's not a panacea and will not fix every failing intersection. But if objectively considered, prioritized clearly, coordinated with land use, and implemented systematically, it will, over time, create a truly functional road network that will relieve pressure on these currently overburdened roads and intersections. It'll provide safe, high-capacity alternative routes to and from the county's major destinations and allow for appropriate development to enhance the county's quality of life, not degrade it. If Sussex County is ever to get its road system to function well, it'll have to break with the past. It'll have to develop a clear vision of what that road system will look like, what development will be allowed to utilize it, and how it's funded. To continue business as usual will only lead to more congestion, more citizen frustration, more poor unmanaged growth, and that will cost the county dearly. If we would take any questions. I know you're short on time. We're willing at any time to meet with the council, staff, consultants at your direction, and share more detail on our thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. We're going to please be quick.
We're in overtime.
Yeah.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chuck Schoner. I'm the legislative chair for the South Coastal AARP, and I have a little different take on this chapter for you. Our chapter happens to be the largest in the state, and believe it or not, we're the eighth largest in the country. As of yesterday, we have 448 members. And transportation is a very important topic to seniors. I picked a couple of numbers out of the transportation chapter. In the 50 to 69-year-old group in our county, it grew by 69% between 2000 and 2013. In the 85-year-old group in Sussex County, it's they envision it increasing by 234% by 2045. And I've coined a phrase here, at least I think I have. I'm calling it the silver tsunami. And it's going on right now in this county. I want to applaud the Zoning and Planning and Zoning Commission for several recommendations they made in this chapter, and want to tell you that our organization, as well as some others, I think probably, would like to participate in these items that the Planning and Zoning Commission is recommending, especially number one, where they're talking about creating a guide, a toolkit for transportation items, options for residents and visitors. They also are talking about a senior citizen affordable taxi program. Number three, calling for the coordination between nonprofit transportation providers and incentives to local businesses such as grocery stores and also HOAs for ride sharing. Number four, the Mobility Improvement Committee. I heard your first speaker suggest that you could expand that committee, and we'd like to see some seniors on it if that is appropriate. I thought it was really interesting. Your first speaker was mentioning that expenditures in the budget identify priorities of the group. And the way I see these four items, I don't think there's a tremendous amount of expenditure necessary for some of these. But I want to do one last statement here. North Dakota State University did a study, and their study indicates that taxpayers can save thousands of dollars by having seniors remain in their homes, rather than moving to assisted living facilities from $6,000 to $10,000 a month. Some of our assisted living facilities are costing that here, $10,000 a month. And you know what happens when they run out of money. Medicare pays, or Medicaid pays for it. So that's your tax dollars. That hits pretty hard. North Dakota State found that 90% of seniors want to stay in their homes. So we'll be following these four items, and we hope that that you proceed with what the Planning and Zoning Commission suggested on them.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Consultant, you're up.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday.
I think.
DJ, did you? We're going to move on. We're already past 15 minutes. How are you going to be? Because I know you talk quite a bit. I'm not being funny. I mean, we scheduled till 10 o'clock. We're now at 10:20.
Well, can you have public comment at the end?
Sure. If we have time. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I got a job, too, so I'll leave and come back to this one here. But
sure. I mean, we'll do our best to get you in. Yes, sir.
Okay. Future reference of half hour on the mobility element is not very much.
Okay. Thank you. Moving right along.
All right. If you recall, during our last workshop, we went through the intergovernmental coordination